Hello, everybody, and welcome to our second of the implementation integration support calls for this year's IRSPT insulin resistance practitioner training. I'm super excited to have you here, and I'm super excited to have this ability to just really meet with you all on a weekly basis so that there's not too much time in between. And, you know, if you have some confusions or questions or ways that you want to implement, or clients or family members, or even yourself, who you have questions about. So I wanted to just reiterate how we've structured the course and how these calls can support you. And we basically have it set up so that you get an email. Hopefully you should have gotten emails based on, hey, this module, whatever module you're in. We don't want to pressure you to go, like, some people like to go 3 modules a week and some people like to go 1 module every 2 or 3 weeks, right? So we don't want to pressure you. So we've set it up so that you get to control when you go on to the next module. So far, and I've got to go through the later ones and change it a bit, but we've set it up so that once you take the test at the end of each module, then it automatically opens up the rest of it. So all of those little check boxes get set. It starts a tag in our back end and it sends you the emails about the next module. Does that make sense? And then once you've finished that, then you get the next one and the next one. So hopefully you've gone through the first one. And if you haven't, then just keep going through it as long as you need to. The second module is all about assessment. You know, that's where we get into what lab tests and what they mean and how you can order them. You don't need to be a licensed doctor to order them. We give you links where you can order them through direct access. And then when would you use it? You're not going to run a whole series of lab tests on everybody. And when would you use it? So that's what module 2 is about. And we'll just go through wherever you're at when we come to these calls, whatever you have questions about, whether it's technical content, application to particular clients or patients, application to your own life, then you can ask them as we go along. All right. So I would love to get a sense of who's in on the screen. You can raise your hands. Who's still in module 1? Yeah. Okay, great. Who's moved on to module 2? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Anybody moved on to module 3? Woohoo. Anya, good, way to go. All right. And Jennifer, yay, way to go. All right. So that works. You know, once you feel like you have a hang of it, and if you're not sure you really get the hang of that module, don't worry. The test will tell you. So you'll take the test. And if you fail it, you fail it. So you go back and you go back into the we don't keep track of how many times anybody fails. It doesn't count negatively towards getting certified or working with us in the future. It's just, it's for you to say, huh, where were some of my misunderstandings? And then you can go back through and, you know, do it and fill it in. It's open book. Why is it open book? Why is it not timed? Because life is open book. Right? Life is open book. You get a new client and you're like, oh, this is new to me. Okay, what do? You pull out your books. I want you to know how to use your books and where to find the information so that you can move forward and help as many people as you possibly can. And just know, if you're new to practice or new to practicing in this functional way, or even if you're a veteran, you know that if you don't have people coming in to talk to you that provide a challenge for you to learn some new information, then you're not growing. So you're always going to have that. I've been doing this for over 30 years and I still have to pull out the books, right? It's like, oh, that's an interesting presentation. That's not a textbook presentation. I wonder why her this is high and this is low. That's unusual. And we dig. So I want to teach you the process of thinking, right? That process of knowing how this body is working and then being able to think through the solutions. So happy to be here. If there's any other questions about like the layout of the course or et cetera, let's get those out of the way at the beginning. And then let's jump into how do I best support you in moving forward with this. So I'm looking at the chat and I see, oh, Gail says, for those who are registered a second time to complete the course, do we still have to retake the test for our scores to still? No, they should be recorded. That should be recorded in your record. Just finished module. And you'll find that whatever module you'd finished through, the next module should be open to you already on your dashboard. So the emails may not match as much because you've done them before, but whatever new that you do now and you take a new test, you'll get the next module after that and you'll get an email about it. Great, Dolores. Martha, I'm starting over, but I've been through most of the modules. Great. Vahani Daniel, I don't know how to say your name. Sorry, I finished the first module in test, but reporting, I'm not done. So I will look again at the outstanding work so I can move to the next module. Yes. Okay. How does it work for Canadians regarding ordering lab tests? That's a great question. You know, Canadians and New Yorkers are in a similar situation where there are no direct access labs that actually work. So you're going to have to either not get the test, which is fine, or you get tests through their primary care. So if it's in Canada, through whoever their primary doctor is, sometimes, and it, almost all the time, I find this, especially with thyroid and blood sugar testing, I'll say, here's the list of complete if we really want to look at this. And their doctor says, well, you don't need this. I'm just running TSH. And your TSH is normal at 4.5. So we don't have to run the rest of this. Or, hey, your A1C, your fasting glucose is 97. Why would I want to run your A1C? Well, we know better. But you're just going to have to assume that it's off. You're not going to have the like pre and then the post to be able to prove that it changed, because a lot of doctors won't run A1C and insulin on people who are not already diabetic. It's a sad state of our medical system. I won't even call it a healthcare system. Sad state, but we can do this without any tests. You can do this by having people follow along, change their diet, everybody can get a glucose meter. No matter where you live, you can get a glucose meter. And that's our real big tool, right? If we have the other tests, it's nice, but the glucose meter is the key. Hemoglobin A1C though, I know in the US, so people in New York may be able to get it. You can go to CVS or Long's Drugs or whatever drug pharmacy you have, and you can buy the A1Cs. You can even go to Amazon in the US and order an A1C home test. So if A1C is an issue, doctors won't run it, you go through that channel. Insulin, there used to be, I don't know if they have brought it back, but last time I looked, they didn't have it. The company called, not Canary, what is it called? There's a company that runs hormone tests. Why I'm drawing a blank on it. They run hormone tests over the counter, and they used to have insulin. So you could buy an insulin kit from them, do it and send it in and get a test. So some of these tests you can do.
Maybe Dutch? Dutch?
No. Dutch is different. Dutch is very different. This is I'm drawing a blank. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the kit, the name of the company. I have the kit, but it's downstairs. I've been wanting to do it for the last 2 years and I haven't run my own, but I got it years ago when they had it. And then when we went back and tried to get some clients to get it, it wasn't available anymore. They have a whole bunch. Let me just look it up real quick. Direct access hormone tests. When I say it, some of you will recognize the name. Home hormone test, let's just say. I'm not seeing it. There's one called Let's Get Checked, and I don't know if they have insulin. Let'sGetChecked.com. ZRT Lab. That's the one I was thinking about. ZRT, just those three letters, ZRTLab.com. And then there's another one which I haven't used yet, but I found recently called Let'sGetChecked.com. And they basically have kits that you can do various tests, vitamin D, A1C, et cetera, at home. And they used to have insulin at ZRT Labs. So if you're in that situation. Life Extension does testing. Yeah, Life Extension, but they won't cover in Canada, right? Because you have to get a blood draw. But they won't, and I don't think you can do it in New York. Okay, so let's see what questions we have, and we'll go through it. Doing well, those are beautiful. Is there an occasion? Yes, it was Mother's Day. It was my husband gave me those for Mother's Day. when I locate the Zoom weekly class recordings under the modules, I missed last Monday and wasn't able to locate the recording. Huh. Okay. I'll look into that. And what I would do, I thought it was there. It should be right on the same page. But the best thing to do would be to write to helpdesk@dradenmarie.com and ask Christina to check it out. I don't want to take time during the call for that. should have been there. Summer, do the IRSBT modules coordinate with the NEPT modules? This is one of the NEPT modules, one of the 36. So this is the blood sugar balancing NEPT module. Module two, module one. Okay, great. Getting input on where you're at. I just second time. Okay, just finished module two. So I'm glad you guys are moving along. If you finish the test, make sure you also check off all the other things on the checklist. So each module has a checklist. If anybody wants me to do a screen share and show you, but each module has a checklist. The quiz will get automatically checked off when you finish it, but you may have had, there's others that say, I downloaded the materials, reviewed this, reviewed that. You have to check all of those off before you get tagged as moving on to the next one. Okay, so that was the lab test. How does the 2020 course differ from the 2019? Just these calls. The content is the same. Laura, after moving burst exercises, much long would you wait until, how long would you wait until to drink the rejuvenation drink and start with breakfast, knowing that? Yeah. Okay, so there's ideal and there's realistic, right? So in an ideal world, they get up, they can exercise, and then wait an hour to drink anything. The gut rejuvenator drink is different because it's just lemon water and essential oil. So they can basically drink that anytime. They could drink it before exercise or after exercise. But before they do other kinds of the breakfast stuff, it's best if they wait a full hour or 90 minutes after the exercise to give the growth hormone time to peak and then start to come down. And not always possible, though, with their schedule. So I always tell people, don't stress about not being able to be perfect. None of us can really be perfect because we all have different lives. Ania from Ireland. Wow. Started module two. Great. Adriana, a potential client who says her craving, especially for sugar, are biochemically precipitated and this will not change. What do you suggest? Yeah, they're biochemically precipitated by imbalance in glucose and insulin, right? And possibly some other hormones. And yes, they can change. So she just needs to, do what we're asking her to do. I would start with some of the supplementation because the supplementation will be helping to bring down those cravings. So the chromium, magnesium, and DHA will actually help the sugar get into the cells. It could be a leptin resistance, and it's kind of a catch-22. You've got to reverse that leptin resistance. And how do you do that? By getting the insulin levels under control. My favorite way, but most people aren't willing to do it, to reset and start with a better basis and better biochemistry there is fasting, whether it's an intermittent fast of 16, 18 hours, whether it's a 3-day fast, a 5-day fast. It's tough, those first 24 hours. People have to decide. This is another piece. People have to be determined. They have to know their big why. They have to know why they want to get under control. Because it's easy to go, oh, this is too hard. Let me just eat the Cheetos. I'm craving sugar and I don't want to handle this emotion that's coming up. Or I don't want to handle this biochemical imbalance that's coming up. And they just don't do it. So it's really like there's a relationship building that you have as you're working with somebody to really get them to get them and know that it's difficult and what's their big why, right? Childbirth is difficult. Who here's had a baby? Was that the hardest thing you ever did in your life? The most painful thing probably, right? But you did it. And some of you went back a second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth time to do it again, right? It was hard. You couldn't stop mid-pregnancy and say, okay, this is too hard. You couldn't stop mid-labor and say, no, I don't want to do this. Just give me a Coke and a piece of pizza and I'm out of here, right? So that's the same thing with getting your body metabolically balanced and ready to take on the world and really helping them to see the big why. The big why in pregnancy and childbirth is this beautiful baby that comes out that becomes a human being and then turns 26 on you. And now it gets me all teary-eyed to think about my babies turning into their 20s and, you know, they're not babies anymore. So, but that's the reason. That's why we do what we do with childbirth. That's why we do what we do with the body. And that's where part of your coaching skill set is not just about the clinical stuff. It's about creating that relationship and helping to motivate and inspire them. And read what's going on. I hear you. I hear you. It's challenging, isn't it? It's really tough to avoid sugar when the body is just crying out for it. And yes, it's a biochemical imbalance. And yes, that's what I'm here to help you fix. That biochemistry is not irreversible, right? Unless they've lost a body part and there's, you know, stuff that's out of control because they have a tumor that's raging and creating hormones, like an insulinoma, right? An insulin producing tumor that just keeps producing more insulin no matter what they do. That's a different situation. And that's like, you know, this tiny, tiny slice. Does that make sense? If you work with a naturopath in Canada and can request the test, you just might have to pay for it. Yes, absolutely. They're usually not expensive, FYI. Mary is saying, great. Thank you, Mary. Mary's in Canada. Getting on a little late. Catch up soon. I'm sorry if you already answered this, but what's the difference between a glucose monitoring test and one that also tests insulin? I saw the video, but not sure. Yeah, you can't buy one that tests insulin. Insulin, we just can't buy. We can test ketones and we can test glucose, but the insulin, the way that the insulin has to be handled requires special processing. ZRT labs, check them out to see if they have a home insulin test or order it through a doctor's office. Mostly they're about the same price. So if price is an issue, it's not going to help. It's just, do you have somebody who's willing to order it for you if you're not in one of the states here that does direct access? I understand in Germany, there's some direct access that you can just walk into a lab and get stuff tested. So if anybody's in Germany. Laura says, I can't get into module 2 assessments. What do I need to do to get it open? You need to finish module 1. You need to go through and check off everything on the checklist and finish the quiz for module 1, and then you can get into module 2. And Jessica couldn't find a recording either. So we'll get that taken care of. I wrote this down, big star next to it. Rose, yes. I'm in the implementation module of IRSPC, and I'm curious to learn more about B1 to help high morning fasting glucose level, or why someone's morning fasting glucose level would be elevated and what would help. Where would I find more information? So Lori, are you on? I'd love to, I'm not really sure I understand your question, so I'd love to hear it directly from you. Is Lori on? You must speak because it came in a little.
Hello.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Yes. So tell me what you're really asking because I'm not really following.
I read something, I think it was the first module or second module, about B1 possibly being an issue if somebody has high morning cortisol but kind of normal throughout the rest of the day. Not cortisol.
Well, glucose. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Good. There you are. So you know, I would just try B1 supplementation and see if that helps.
Okay.
Right, so test for it.
That's the only thing that could possibly be keeping it.
No, up. I mean, the other thing that can cause it is that there's a stress going on overnight. Like somebody who's been abused, somebody who's been sexually molested or had parents who fought and one of them was drunk and or it's had a violent action happening during the night, whatever. They find it unsafe to sleep. And so their elevation, they're going to see a high cortisol in the morning, and a high cortisol will cause a high glucose. So I'm always asking lots of questions about that. Also, you want to make sure you see what is their glucose right before they go to bed. So is it going up overnight or is it just high before they go to bed? Because you want to know where you're going to look. So some people will go to bed with their glucose 102 and they wake up with 102 and then it goes down during the day. Then we want to know why.
It goes down overnight and then it comes up in the morning.
Oh, so you've tested it through the night?
Yeah, on the continuous glucose monitor. So it'll be like maybe 89, in the 80s or early 90s before bed, and then it goes down to like 70s.
Okay.
And then it comes up in the morning.
How much does it come up in the morning?
It comes up to like insulin resistant range.
So like over 100.
Or 95, right. Like 95 to 105.
Okay. What time? Do you know what time of?
Around 6-7, just around wake time for waking up.
Okay, so I would be looking at this possibly high cortisol. If you haven't done a Dutch test or
that's why I said cortisol. That was on my mind.
Cortisol. That's why you said it, because that's what that's most likely what's causing it, Right. If there's, if it's consistent, it's not likely that there was a nightmare that did that. Because a nightmare can cause your glucose to be elevated. If you have a bad dream right before waking up, that's going to raise the cortisol levels, and that could raise the glucose. I find for myself that if I go to bed, if I eat a really big meal, too big a meal at night, even if I do wait 3 or 4 hours before going to sleep, that I'll find my glucose levels to be higher in the morning. And it's what happens consistently. Like last week, I did that a couple of times. And boy, my glucose was 96 once and 102, whereas typically in the 70s, first thing in the morning. So there's so many factors that play in. How well are you sleeping? You know, is it a nice sound sleep for 8 hours? Is it a broken sleep? Are you getting up a couple of times to pee or whatever? That'll make a difference too. But yeah, if it's going down all night and then it goes back up, my suspicion is cortisol.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
That was mine.
That was yours too. Yeah. Great. Good question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are there any contraindications to fasting, especially 24 to 36? If you are not experienced with this in guiding people and they're on insulin or they're on metformin, or even blood pressure medication, it can cause a dramatic drop, even 36, so maybe not 24 as much, but 36. And so it can go too low. So that's what, that might be taking too much insulin for what they really need when you're doing a fast like that. So I'd be super careful about anybody on medication, unless you know what you're doing, you've been doing it for years, or, you know, prescribe the medication, know how to manage it and know how to wean them down. That would be my thing. There are some folks who have really severe adrenal fatigue. So when their sugars go too low during that period, then the body goes into this major and epinephrine and cortisol go shooting up to try to get the sugar back up. So those are kind of people like really super high stressed adrenal fatigued type people I would be a little cautious about. What I've usually done with people if I wanted to go to a 24 to 36 hour fast, you start with the 12. Okay, they're good. You go to 13, then you go to 14, and you just keep monitoring throughout the whole period and see how they do. Some people, surprisingly, I actually guided a guy who is on insulin and metformin and blood pressure medication through a 28-day water fast. It was stressful for me. It was stressful for me, but it was a friend of the family. I knew his wife was monitoring him. I knew, you know, his doctor was on board with teaching him how to lower his medication levels, and he did. But it was scary, and I've got over 30 years experience. I don't recommend that any of you try that. Just go slowly and carefully. So, if somebody who's on insulin or metformin has their fasting glucose drop below 80, which is rare, then you want them to talk to their doctor about lowering their medication level. You can't talk to them unless you are the prescribing doctor, but you talk to the doctor about lowering their medication level. And that's why going just a little longer. And the way this guy did it, he got up to 28 days, but he did a half a day. Then he did a day. Then he did 2 days. And when he got to 4 days, he realized that his blood sugar was starting to drop below 80. And I said, okay, now you need to go talk to your doctor and say, what do I do how do I decrease this? He got the instructions. He went to 5 days. He was good. And then we moved into getting him into 28. And it was day by day. I had him send me his records 3 times a day, every single day, to make sure that it wasn't going into too low. Yeah. Does that help? Okay, good. If I download, what does that mean? Marie, you asked a question. I can't. Looks like you, if I download D, okay, come back and ask your question again or raise your hand or open up your line. Logistically, how do you balance eating within an hour and exercising first thing? We talked about that earlier. It's very hard, right? Most people, if they don't exercise first thing, it won't happen. You're not going to. And some people don't need to eat within an hour of waking. I need to create a new video in there because some people do better with intermittent fasting. And I have the intermittent fasting more towards the end. And I usually, because I don't know, and if I'm doing this in a group, I'm not working with people one-on-one, I don't know where they're at in terms of how they do with skipping breakfast or going longer or having a later breakfast, like an intermittent fasting thing. And I'd rather err on the side of caution and say, okay, let's just have you eat within an hour. A lot of research shows if you eat within an hour, it has to do with the cortisol going up and being able to, you know, not break down muscle tissue, but they don't have to. So you work with them, right? What works with their schedule? If exercising first thing is what they need and it's not going to happen, you have them exercise first thing. I don't care if they end up eat when they're hungry after that, or eat, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours after that, doesn't matter. So we often have to just break one rule to follow another. And with each individual person, we figure out what the guidelines are that are going to work best for them. Oh, Mary, if you have not downloaded your picture, can you move on if you've completed everything except, just click that you did. If you don't want to download your picture, just click what you did that you did and move on. No big deal. Have I ever used Prolon for fasting? Okay, I'll tell you my feelings about Prolon. I was given a kit, $250 kit for free because they wanted me to promote it. And I looked at the ingredients. I'm like, I'm not eating this. This is all the stuff I would never touch with a 10-foot pole. So what I did was I took the kit and I gave it to my husband. I said, I want you to do this. I want to see how it works. See if this is something that I could give people who are not, you know, so already into eating purely. And he started doing it. And the end of the first day, he's going, can I just eat cucumbers and celery instead of this? Can I just eat avocado instead of this? He didn't want to eat it either. So we ended up with this kit with all these things that he wouldn't eat left over. For the average person who's not already like, I'm just eating whole foods, I don't want to eat this stuff, it has rice flour in it, I don't want to eat this stuff, then it could work really well. I know I do have colleagues who've used it themselves, who've used it with family members, and it worked. What I did when I saw this, I'm like, I'm just going to create a food-based plan based on the macro micronutrient balance here. And I created something I called at the time Fasting with Food. And we did a 5-day challenge. We had thousands of people go through it. And the results were amazing. And I just gave them guidelines of this food, this food, this food, this food, this breakfast, lunch, dinner, or breakfast, dinner, whatever they wanted, one or two or three meals a day, certain caloric range, certain macronutrients, and it worked beautifully. So Prolon can be very effective, but don't try to offer it to your whole foods, plant-based person who doesn't eat any processed foods, or somebody who's already on a low glycemic whole foods diet. They're just not going to go for it, but it can work. I've absolutely seen that it can work. Plus, it's much cheaper to do the whole foods version of it or to just fast. I've always said, I'll just fast for 5 days. It's cheaper, right? $250 for 5 days worth of food is a lot of money, right? When you can do it either with no food at all and just do fasting, or you can do it with whole foods. And so we have that available. I think we changed the name of it to Fasting While Feasting, because every time people showed their pictures, they're like, I can't eat all this food, I'm stuffed, and look at what I made, and it was beautiful, and they were losing weight, and their glucoses were dropping, their insulins were dropping, and so it's a good approach. All right. Do you like Gymnema as an herbal supplement to help with sugar balance and cravings? In the nutrition, I think that's module 3 is nutrition. I don't remember which one it is. We go into all the different supplements, and I go into what I like, what I don't like, what's the advantages and the disadvantages of each. And it definitely can be helpful for some. Leah, the chromium DHA are definitely reducing appetite and cravings, also bringing the glucose numbers down, which is great. Awesome. And I found that for me, which I'm terrible at taking supplements of all the things. I'm terrible at taking supplements, but I was finding that my sugars were going up. If I went out in the heat middle of the day where it was 85 or 90 degrees and I was exercising heavily, I would come back and my sugar was way high. Like it had gone up 30 points while exercising. So I just would take the chromium and magnesium right after DHA, all three, right after I got back. And boom, it would bring it down really quickly compared to if I didn't take it. And then I started taking it before I went out. Didn't seem to make much of a difference. But yesterday it was 82 degrees and dry, no humidity. And I went hiking through the neighborhood and through our trails with my husband. And I was not heavy exercise at all for me. And my sugar didn't go up at all. Right. So yeah, it's helping people to find, when to take those supplements. You know, I give you guidelines, but for every person it might be different based on their schedule. First of all, I can't remember to take it 3 times a day. Okay, take it this time and this time. Some people find that if they take the chromium, those supplements at bedtime, that they can't sleep well, their sugars go way down because it's going down too much. So for some people, I tell them, don't take it at bedtime. For some people who are waking up with the glucose high in the morning, I'm telling them, make sure you take your bedtime dose. Okay. This is an art and a science, right? It's the art and the science of reading people and figuring out what's working for them. And just because the textbook or my course says this is the way to do it, doesn't mean you're going to do that way for everybody. It's a guideline, not a rule. Okay. Okay, who else? Jane, have you worked with patients who are currently being treated for breast cancer? If chemo or other medications patients are taking can increase their lab levels, the protocols might help them to reduce their numbers. Will the protocols to help them reduce their numbers still be effective? Yeah, even more so, right? If somebody's doing something pharmacologically or in a treatment wise that will cause the glucose to go up. Like if somebody's taking hydrocortisone, they're taking prednisone, their glucose numbers are going to go up. Even more reason to do what we're talking about in terms of supplementation and in terms of diet and lifestyle and sleep and all that to help them keep them from being in a dangerous level. I think, of course, if they're being treated, you do have to tell them to you know, check with their doctor. As much as I hate to say that, check with their doctor for interactions, but you do need to find out, are there interactions that you don't know about to make sure. There are a lot of docs out there. And the reason I say hate to say that is because there's a lot that are just towing the pharmaceutical line, right? Supplements are just a waste. You're just getting effective peace. Diet can't help you with diabetes. Diet can't help you with heart disease. Diet can't help you with cancer. That's a bunch of farce. And quite frankly, those are challenging when you're working with people who have a doctor like that, because they're not going to get buy-in. Whereas this guy that I work with, his doctor was like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's working. He goes, I can't condone what you're doing, but holy cow, I've been telling my colleagues about it. And you're like getting healthy. He lost weight. He lowered all his medications. So he was open to it. Although he didn't agree with it, he had an open mind. And that's the minimum we want. You know, you got to think they've been trained in allopathic medicine and believe in what they've been taught. And suddenly when we show them something that is not there, it's eye-opening for some, and for others, they just put up their nope, you know, the disbelief filter. Can't find the place to check off each part of the module. Okay, let me just show you real quick. I'll share my screen. Let me open the thing first. Is this it? Yeah, okay. Share. I'm in a different program here. Can you see my screen? All right, if we go to insulin resistance, I show everything. Oh, okay, I show everything on my screen. So, oh, I'm in somebody else's insulin resistance. Let me do this different one. I was logging in as someone else to check something. So if I go to here and I go here, and I go to insulin resistance. Okay. Now I'll share my screen again. I think I should be in the right place. Okay, good. We'll go to module one. Okay, good. I'll share my screen now. I think that's it. All right, so this is module one, or this is the start. You've got module one. If you go to progress checklist, nope, that's not it. Okay, sorry, that's how we used to do it. Oops. I'll have to change that. Okay, let me go back to module exam. Okay, so this is the exam you need to pass. Where's the checklist? Usually it's right on here. Okay, now I'm not sure where the heck it is. Learning objectives. Pretest. Core content. All right. Who got out of module one and into module two? Can you share how you did it? Because now I'm lost here. I go here to insulin resistance practitioner training. Start here, access the modules.
You can go right into modules.
Okay, it's on this page, this modules page. Okay, here we go.
It took a few days before they opened up module two after I finished module one.
It should open right away. So you should be able
to, it didn't.
It didn't. Okay. So I see. This gets filled in when you go through, but this is the whole thing. So the introduction.
And yeah, but Dr. Rita Marie, you got access in a different way than we do.
I'm going to have to log in as one of you and see what's going on and why you're not able to click off all that.
I think that I got no problem. Mine came right away. As soon as I finished module one, module two popped up. So I'm not quite sure. Maybe
it was as soon as you finished the quiz.
As soon as I log in as me,
because I'm the one who can't get into module. All
right. Give me your name. Who just said that? I don't see.
Laura Van Bryce. L-A-A-R-A.
L-A-A-R-A.
Van Bryce is Victor A. N. is Nancy New.
Boy, you're it's hard to see. It's hard to hear you. Type it in the chat so I make sure I have it. But yeah. Say it again. Are you on the screen? Where are you?
Right there.
Van, okay, got it. Van Bryce. Okay, I'll make sure, I'll go through and make sure that it's really clear.
Okay.
All right, and I'll see what's going on for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Dolores said she just took the test and then it opened module two. So progress checklist on the left with me too. Me too. So a bunch of people are saying that did you do the test for module one? Did you finish the test, Laura and Nina?
Yes, yeah? I finished the test.
And it didn't give you access to module two.
That is correct.
Okay. I'll go check it out. And Nina, the same thing for you?
Yeah, I had to talk to the help desk a few times via email to get them to open it up, and then they did. So okay. I'm in module two, but it took a little while. It
took some time. Okay, I'll check it out and see why that's happening.
Yeah, I didn't see that thing either. I finished the test, but and then I didn't do the checklist. I didn't see that. So right. I don't know why.
Okay, who's speaking? I'm having a hard time finding you. Is it? Okay, we'll check it out and we'll make sure it gets fixed. Sorry about that. It's funny that it's working for some people and not others. It shouldn't take 24 hours. It should be immediate. When I took the test for module one, it took a couple of days. That's kind of weird. Okay, we'll make sure we get that fixed. It's supposed to be immediate. Like you click the button and it starts a tag that goes in. You may have to refresh the page in order to see it or log out and log back in. To see it, you shouldn't have to log out and log back in. You should be able to just refresh the page. And Anya says it's working fine for me. So I don't know what the difference is and we'll look for it. Okay, cool. I'm not seeing any other questions. Wait. No, there's the ProLon. There was, will MAG malate work as well as citrate or glycinate? It should, yes, definitely. Mary says, oh my God, I need to worry about my blood sugar going up after exercise. I need to test to see. I wear my continuous glucose meter. So yeah. I've been able to see. And, you know, sometimes if you're over exercise, you're stressing your body. Like if I go out in the middle of the afternoon at 95 degrees and humid, and I don't hydrate enough beforehand, that's a stress to my body, even if I'm not running fast or, you know, doing any kind of marathon type of a thing. So we have to just find out what for each person is the best exercise for them, right? When your days, Mary, of being a bodybuilder and working out for 4 hours a day, you were probably stressing yourself out to the max, right? And so you probably had that happen. Here's the thing. If you start before the exercise with a very low blood sugar, like it's say you've been intermittent fasting at 70, right? It's likely your blood sugar is going to go up because your body's accessing glycogen. Right? It's expected. It's going to go, oh, there's not enough glucose in my body, in my blood. I'm going to go get some from the liver and it's raising it. No big deal. But if you're starting out in the 90s, right? If you just had a meal, you're starting out in the 90s, you should expect the body to use what glucose is in the blood and then drop it down, right? So it just depends on where the person's starting and how much metabolic flexibility there is.
So what number are we looking at if it jumps? Like, I know it's going to jump even if I was fasted. So, and it jumps, I don't know, 10 points. Like, what's the threshold that I need to worry about?
10 points is never a big deal. 10 points could just be user error, I mean, a machine error, right? But if it goes 30 or 40 or 50 points, then I'd be concerned, right? And I just experiment with it. And for me, I know it was the extent of my exercise. Was that bad? Maybe not. If I were to do the heavy duty exercise for when I'm on day 4 of a fast, then that's kind of dumb because it is, and I've done it, but because I don't have any glycogen left in my liver, right? If I have plenty of glycogen because I've been eating normally, then go for it. The body breaks down the glycogen into sugar, gets you to exercise, and it should come back down pretty quickly. But if I don't have glycogen, where's it going to get the sugar to raise my sugar? My muscles. That ain't good. The key of exercise is to build muscle, not break it down. Right. So you learn as you go through this to really analyze like what's going on biochemically and what could be causing this. These are great questions because we're getting really deep into the individuality, you know, everybody's a little different.
Are we asking questions, by the way, just via chat or are we?
No. You can ask them. Yeah. Anybody wants to ask questions, go for it. People have been writing in, so I figured I'd answer them in the chat first.
Because I know in the participants, it's got to raise hands. I don't know if you're going through that. So
yeah, go for it. I see you have a raised hand. You can raise hands. You could wave at me. You could just open up your line and say, hey, I got a question. So what's your questions? Yeah, go for it, Mary.
I've got a lot of questions as always. But
you always have a lot of questions.
I'll just shoot them off, right? One you already answered, which was really good. And I think this one here, you might have too. So I'll shoot what I have here. So I was saying, if a person has meds, how do you know what their baseline is?
If they have meds, if they're on meds?
If they're on meds, like how do you know what their baseline is? Or are you just going based on what their baseline is with meds?
Yeah, you have to, that's all you have to go on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and if they're on meds, you got to be careful. If somebody says to me, oh, my fasting glucose has dropped down into the 60s. I had that happen on the Sweet Spot call. I better watch my time. Sweet Spot call the other day. And that I said, tell me if you're on meds. First question to ask if somebody says, how do I know if my blood sugar is going too low? My blood sugar was in the 70s or 60s. Is that too low? Very first question you need to ask is, are you on meds? Because if they're on meds, then you don't have control. That the meds plus the diet changes can drop them down so low that they risk diabetic coma, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Right. So that's why I told the guy, one guy who was on three different meds, and I said, your sugars are going to drop because look, my fasting blood sugar is 220. You know, I said, if your sugar drops, your fasting blood sugar drops below 90, you got to tell me right away because we need to talk to your doctor about lowering meds. 5 days later, he says, my fasting glucose this morning was 78. I said, you talk to your doctor right away because he wasn't on insulin, he was on oral meds, but still, if he gets it down too low, you run the risk and we can't control it, right?
That's I'm afraid of if I'm working with someone who is on meds, that could be happening.
Or you tell them if your sugar drops below this point, you know, eat an apple, right? To bring it back up, right? Normally wouldn't tell that to an average person who's not on meds. It's like, I'm like, yay, way to go. You're down to 78. You're down to 65. That's awesome. But not if they're on meds.
Okay. So it's fasting in the morning. Okay. So I think you answered this one with the protein. And I was saying, if people are fasting in the morning, they don't have to start with protein. What about if they're starting with fat? You know how there's that, you know, fat first thing with,
here's my thing, right? Your first meal of the day needs to have it all. Fat, a good omega-3 fats, protein, fiber. I'm hearing somebody. Fiber. Lori, let me unmute her. No? Okay. All right. So fat, omega-3 fat, protein, mm-hmm. fiber,
yeah.
greens, and ideally the fifth one is some kind of probiotic food. Whether it's a, you know, a tablespoon of sauerkraut or some cashew coconut or some other kind of non-dairy yogurt. Right. Kefir, something like that. And if you can start the day, whether it's first thing in the morning or in the middle of the day, it's the best way to start the day. And I don't say that per se in the Sweet Spot documentation, but it's in my book. It's called Hormone Hacking Breakfast, but it's basically how all of those meals were designed with that concept in mind.
And I think I'll call it your formula, because I see that also in, the other meal plans that you've done, that's either keto or fasting with food. You have that formula in there. So when we're talking about your first meal, it could be your first meal regardless. It should be your balanced meal. All your meals should be balanced that way anyways, but whether they're fasting or not, or if they're not fasting, they should be eating the first, first thing in the morning sort of thing. Whatever it looks like, it should incorporate.
It should have all that stuff. So for me, I don't usually eat breakfast. I haven't eaten anything yet. I'll probably, because I'm going right into another call, it'll be 3 o'clock before I'll eat anything, or four maybe. And I'll start with a green smoothie, some coconut yogurt. If I've soaked some chia seeds, I haven't, but I'd add some chia seeds to that. But what I would do is add to my coconut yogurt, add some omega-3s. So I might put some hemp seeds on there. I might throw some extra hemp seeds in my smoothie. So I'm thinking, I'm just naturally thinking about that balance every time I put together that meal, especially the first meal. But I try to keep that balance in every meal.
Right. Okay. Okay, some of your PowerPoint for module number one in particular. So I want to be clear, because I read it a couple of times. So gluten itself damages, you just said, I think it damages it, but you weren't specific, but I think because you said it earlier, maybe I lost track and I wasn't sure, but gluten damages insulin receptors. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, good. And then, to determine if somebody is insulin resistant, how long are they doing their blood tests? Or is it the ACE1?
A1C.
A1C. Is that enough to say, because it's over the course of 3 months, to be the...
Yeah, there's a number of ways. Now, medically, right, the medical official diagnosis of insulin resistance is that they have a fasting blood sugar of over 100 on 3 consecutive occasions. That's all it takes.
So 3 consecutive blood tests.
Yeah. So if you go into the lab, they get that. But if you're doing it at home, it's the same thing. 3 consecutive tests. Like if you have it once, it doesn't mean you're necessarily. But I take it a step further than that, because insulin resistance starts before that actual diagnosable event. So if someone is doing their blood sugar testing and I have them do it for 5 days and they're doing it and they're seeing that their fasting glucose, this was me, in the 80s, after certain foods, boom, it was going up to 150 and then coming right back down in the 80s, 2-3 hours later. That's not normal. I can't officially say it's insulin resistance. So that's why I coined the term pre-insulin resistance. You're heading there. You're still getting the damage that high glucose gives, but you're not actually officially insulin resistant.
Right.
And those are the people you can help so much, because they fall through the cracks.
Right. So I can get them to test myself on a 5-day consecutive doing the fasting and say, hey, these are your numbers. And, although I can't clinically, diagnose you, but this is the pattern that I'm seeing, and it could be towards that. Okay. And then as medical, they actually do consecutive, because I'm thinking, what if you had a bad night, or whether you're,
how do
you?
It's not just once, right? It's like, and with the doctors of visits, it's usually, months apart. So it's not like days in a row. So if you've got somebody who has 3 bad days and then they're back to normal, right, then it's not officially insulin resistance, but who cares? Mm-hmm. A diagnosis is just a label on a box. You're trying to put somebody in a box and give them a diagnosis. We're looking for metabolic imbalance. And that's why pre-insulin resistance is not a diagnosis. You can't get in trouble for telling it. I think you're pre-insulin resistant. I think you're heading towards that. And I'd like to help you shift your metabolism right now so you don't go down that path.
Okay. So that's a language that I can actually use. So that's good. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if you're aware, but you are missing one slide in module one.
Oh.
Yeah, you
missing
are.
Missing a slide?
Yeah, you're missing the slide because it jumps. The slide, it doesn't go to slide. I don't know if there's a number on the slide, but I'll tell you the slide it is.
All right, send me a message on that, Mary.
Which one it is afterwards.
Yeah, just send me a message on that and we'll go in and fix it.
Okay, what do you mean by, you know, in your lab marker pattern in that slide, you have them all listed, right? And you said one is conventional. What do you mean by conventional?
Conventional is what the medical lab tests show. So whether it's in Canada or whether it's in the US, there's a range that the doctor thinks is okay. As long as your A1C is 5.8 or 5.6 or below or 5.7 or below, you're not considered having a problem. We think that it's a problem if it goes above 5.1, 5.2. It's indicating that there's an imbalance. So that's what the conventional versus optimal ranges are.
And we always want to obviously look at the optimal.
We want to be able to optimal. Who wants to be normal?
Yeah.
90% of the population is sick, obese, insulin resistant, diabetic, you know, autoimmune. And that's how I phrase it to people. I said, well, normal health is this. Is that what you want? Or do you want optimal health?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you do with people who don't want to go off gluten? So I know that my brother, I was telling him that I'm taking this course, and he goes, oh, I might be your first patient kind of thing, because he was trying to do a diet, and I think he was successful, but then he couldn't keep it up. And I know I've heard now by my sister-in-law, his wife, telling me that I think he started meds. He hasn't told me that yet. But he's a foodie, right? And he loves to cook and loves to eat, and, you know, whatever the case is, Italian, you know, of course.
Okay, so I'm going to cut you short, because if somebody says to me, I am not going off gluten no matter what, I say, thank you very much for showing up. There are other people that you can work with that might be able to, but I don't have any magic in my kit that allows me over the course of 30 years to see anybody be successful in your situation if they're unwilling to do that. Thank you very much. Now, if they say, it's going to be really hard, I'm going to really try, I'm going off, that's different. Right? You know, they're working on it, and you say it's going to take longer if you're not willing to give up processed food, you're not willing to give up gluten. We need to get you off of these things that are aggravating your system. If you're not willing to, then I'm not your practitioner, because I don't have any other tools in my toolbox. And you may have to be honest.
I think people think it's okay once in a while to do it. You know, once they get their blood sugar in, you know, once they get their blood sugar balanced.
Yeah. If they don't have the genetics, right? Because it can throw the, first of all, it's addictive. So you say, oh, can I occasionally have a piece of bread?
Yeah.
And then it goes to every couple of weeks. And then it goes to every couple of days. And then it's every day because it's addictive. Mm-hmm. It's addictive food. So there are people who don't have any genetic markers. They don't have any issues. They're not the ones that are coming to see you. Hey, I'm perfectly healthy and I want to stay perfectly healthy. Teach me how. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't see those people. They don't spend their money on healthcare. They're off, you know, going to play golf or, you know, flying through the country or whatever. They don't come to see us, right? So I'm very clear. And when I'm working with practitioners like in NEPT or this program, and they say, I have this and this person, the first thing I ask is, tell me about their diet. Right. Oh, well, we're having trouble getting them. No wonder you're not getting results. Right. And I'm real clear with people. Mm-hmm. I had a guy the other day, it was my first call with him, and he started to say how, you know, he's trying to get his glucose under control, and he's done a great job so far and doing this whole food plant-based. But he said to me, I take these tomatoes and I do this, and then I pour it over my whole wheat pasta. Mm. And I said, stop. I said, if you walk away from this one thing, you got to give up your whole wheat pasta. And here's why. And I explained it to him. And then if you have a genetic test and you can find the genetic markers, which we're going to go over those in that Shine Online thing that we're doing that you all have tickets to, then I will look at it and go, you know, you're genetically, this is it. This is causing inflammation in your body. This can be causing autoimmune disease. There's more and more evidence that type 2 diabetes is actually autoimmune in nature too. I have bunches of papers on that, and I present that at practitioner training conferences. So yeah, I just say, no, thanks. I'm not working with you. I like to be successful when I work with people.
Right. Yeah. Okay. No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Okay. And one more last question, if you don't mind, and then I'll move off. So we mentioned in one of the slides about the vitamin Bs in the five most important nutrients. Now, are we going to go dive into which particular vitamin Bs you're talking about? Or are you talking about a multi-B, or is there a specific?
In this course, we're not going through specifically. I mean, the Bs are important. And in our NEPT program, we have an hour-long presentation on every one of the Bs and every one of the nutrients. It's a 30-hour module, and that's part of NEPT. But but B1 is very important for blood sugar balance. But I would say just making sure that they have their Bs in order. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. I have to go off to the sweet spot call. I can answer. Let me look to see if there's any other question here, and then I have to go off to the sweet spot call. And you guys are all invited to that. So with intermittent fasting, I see how this is about bioindividuality because I've had clients who gain weight when they've tried it, myself included. Yeah, but I know that many other factors come into play. I just wanted to ask if you think there are some women hormonally who just aren't able to really do it without imbalancing. Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Last year, I did a presentation on keto and it was keto, whatever. In there, I actually addressed the whole thing about women. And if you go and get Dr. Anna Kabeka's book, she has a new book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she addresses it too and what the differences are with women. And there needs to be more variation. And
to be more so. Wait, you just said we could join the sweet spot call. Is there somewhere we're supposed to find that link? I'm so sorry. I don't know where that is. And thank you for answering that question.
No, you're totally welcome. You should have, I'll put the link here, but you should have gotten.
Sweet spot? I didn't get that link at all.
Dr. Reed, are you like really backlogged with help desk? Because I've actually sent a few emails and Christina's always like on top of it. Haven't heard from her in like over a week.
Really?
Yeah. So I sent direct to her.
I wonder if it's going to spam. What I'm finding is that my spam is loaded with good stuff, like even stuff from my team and myself.
Yeah, I have to check for myself.
So check your spam, but here's the link to the sweet spot call.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. That doesn't have, let me go back in and get the password. There's a password here. There's a password. So you guys are welcome to come to that. And you should have gotten the link. You should have gotten a link to that. We sent out emails that said, hey.
Did you send it to somebody privately? Because it didn't come up on the chat.
Wait, I did send it to somebody privately. Okay, there we go. Me to everybody. There we go. But there should have been an email that went out to everybody that said, hey, you got it. So if you go to unstoppablehealthcommunity.com, where the last year's sweet spot stuff is, and you look on the front page dashboard, it should say sweet spot 2020, and there should be a sweet spot 2019. Click on the one that says sweet spot 2020, and then click on the recordings page, and you'll see.
You mean in the Facebook group, or you mean in the module?
No, you have to go into the website, www.unstoppablehealthcommunity.com. And on the front page, it should show you sweet spot 2020. And click on that and that'll give you the calls. We've really revamped it and there's things we need to do in order to reconnect the insulin resistance modules, but we're going much more slowly with the sweet spot people this year. And then we're going to give them the follow on because people were overwhelmed with the amount of information that they got. Okay.
That's all right.
These calls generally an hour, Dr. Rita Marie?
These calls are supposed to be 45 minutes, 45 okay. minutes to an hour. So Kabeka is C-A-B-E-C-A-C. C-A-B-E-C-A.
Yeah, her book's great. Her new book is nice.
Yes. I did a Facebook Live with her last week. Okay. If you're not already on my Unstoppable Health Facebook page and my also like my page, my Dr. Rita Marie page, you'll get notified whenever I do a Facebook Live. I got to go.
Go.
When I go to log in to Mary, send that to help desk and I'm going to talk to Christina and make sure that she looks in the spam for our help desk to see if some of your stuff is going in there because she is usually right on top of it.
Okay. So, do you want me to send it to help desk too with the slide? Where do you want that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, send that one to me direct. You have my direct email.
Okay. Okay. No problem. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye everybody. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you.